This is I Ask, They Answer on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
As the field turns for home, top of the stretch, it's still joined in the dance with a tenuous lead. Regal Ransom and Pioneer of the Nile strike the front just outside the eight pole. Musket Man is coming hard down the center of the track, and Papa Clem's right there too. Down toward the inside, coming on through. That is Zermine at Bird now is coming on to take the lead as they come down to the finish. And a spectacular upset. Mind That Bird has won the Kentucky Derby. An impossible result here.
Tom Durkin with the call. An impossible result when Derby long shot Mind That Bird won the Kentucky Derby. He is among several Derby winners over the past 15 years to never win another race. Will Mystic Dan join them, or will he find his way back to the winner's circle? Plus, should the stewards have taken a closer look at the stretch battle between Sierra Leone and Forever Young? And with so few Derby horses expected to move on to Baltimore, has the time finally come to move the Preakness back and space out the Triple Crown? We'll talk about those topics and much, much more straight ahead on a post-Derby edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin, all presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program and the College of Business, and all starting just 30 seconds from right now.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 35 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
All right, guys, we will start here. We couldn't have asked for a more thrilling finish to the 150th Kentucky Derby, but with that came a little bit of drama. If the Derby were a NASCAR race, we would be talking about runner-up Sierra Leone and third-place finisher Forever Young swapping paint through the stretch. The two made contact several times, but the stewards decided it wasn't enough to put up the inquiry sign. So I'll ask you, Dale, I'll come to you first. Should they have taken a closer look at that stretch run?
No, neither jockey claimed foul. I don't think so. It was just they were just race riding each other. And I love what the Japanese jockey said on Twitter. Tammy read it to me the other day. I don't do much Twitter, but he even said there wasn't enough going on to matter, both riding their races and trying to get to the wire first. I don't think it was that big a deal. And everybody thinking Tyler reached over and grabbed something. He had the whip in his hand. You can't hold the whip and grab something. It was just all in the heat of battle.
You know, I'm not so sure they didn't look at it. There was a 6 or 7 minute delay before they made it official. I'm sure they were looking at it. And like Dale said, that neither rider claimed foul. And with the Japanese, they came out and said that they leave it on the track. It's not something they often do in their country, is claim foul. But, you know, when Tyler did reach over, he did make some kind of contact. I mean, Chad Brown said that he was trying to right himself to his balance. And, you know, but if another rider touches the other side, the other horse, the rider, there usually is some kind of inquiry, but there wasn't. I mean, I think that, all the way down the stretch, there was bumping on both sides. So, it's race riding. And, that harkens back to the old days when, you know, it was left on the track. So I think they did the right thing by not having a foul claim. I'm sure that people that had the different tickets might disagree with me, but that's what I think.
Dale, if you were the trainer of Forever Young, would you have hoped that your jockey would have claimed foul?
Oh, I don't know. I would have. Yeah, anytime in a big race you get beat a nose, claim foul, let's worry about it later. But anything can happen when you turn it over to human hands. But they're sportsmen, those Japanese, and they said, leave it on the racetrack. You know, I was cheering for him a little bit. Of course, worked with him while he was here. And those were some classic people.
Do you think that contact, guys, all the way through the stretch, or at least through the final, let's call it eighth of a mile or so, do you think that could have cost Sierra Leone the victory?
I think Logan in down the lane cost Sierra Leone the victory. I mean, he was laying in all the way. I don't think that was race riding at all. I think he was, and I think that was part of the problem. Tyler would keep trying to pull him out and keep trying to use his whip to get him to go completely straight, and he kept lugging in, laying on the horse. I think that could have cost him.
And that horse has had a history of doing that. It certainly could have cost him. You know, if you look back on this race, I'm sure that most people would think that, you know, and all credit to Kenny McPeak and Mystic Dam, but people might think that Sierra Leone was the best horse, but the best horse doesn't always win. I mean, all full credit to Mystic Dam because, you know, as tired as he was getting, he never gave up. He was fighting the whole way down the lane.
Yeah, he was. And Hall of Fame jockey Jerry Bailey said on the NBC telecast after the race that Forever Young was giving it to Sierra Leone as good as he was getting it from him. So both of those horses were bouncing off of each other, and they were both going at it. And as you guys just pointed out, really just in the heat of battle, it was race riding. And the result stands as official, no inquiry, and it sounds like you both agree with that decision. How about this topic? Let's complete these sentences. I'm going to give you a few different sentences as they apply to this year's Kentucky Derby, and you guys go ahead and complete them for me. Brian Hernandez Jr.'s ride aboard Mystic Dan was blank. Timmy, what was it?
To me, it was fearless. I mean, Brian Hernandez, you know, who doesn't get enough credit, in my opinion. I mean, he's one of the more underrated jockeys on the circuit, and, you know, he knows that Kentucky Churchill Downs racetrack better, you know, as good as anybody. And when he squeezed through there, when the hole opened up on the rail, when Track Phantom moved just a smidge, I mean, he seized the opportunity and went through it. I don't think people realize just how gutsy these jockeys are, and, you know, the split second decisions they have to go through these small holes with, and especially in a field that big, you know. It was a masterful ride, but I call it fearless.
I would say it was a Hall of Fame ride, and it showed the nation what people that watch Churchill Downs all the time know about Brian Hernandez and his talent, and it couldn't happen to a better person. There's not a better guy on the racetrack than Brian, a good family man, got a good kids, good wife, the perfect professional.
All right, how about this one? Ken McPeak and Brian Hernandez Jr. sweeping the Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby is what, Tim Wilkin?
Well, it's certainly rare because that was the first time that a trainer swept the two since 1952 when Ben Jones did it. I mean, this is only the third time that a trainer's ever won both. And the eighth for a jockey, and the last one was Calvin Burrell with Rachel and mine that bird. I mean, it just shows you, I mean, you know, there are so many records in racing that you think are untouchable, like Woody's five Belmonts or Kelso's five straight horse of the years. But to win the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby in back-to-back days from the same barn is just, it doesn't happen. So, you know, all kudos to Kenny McPeak for the job he did, and the you know, Brian Hernandez, the same thing. I mean, it was just a phenomenal achievement by both.
Yeah, it was historic. I mean, you can win a lot of things, you can win a lot of big races, but there's very few times that you can make history and people are going to be talking about you decades from now. Every year will roll around, people will ask who's ever won the Derby and the Oaks and Derby double. And they'll always be talking about Kenny and Brian. So it's great to do big things, but it's even better to do historic things, and that's what they did last weekend.
All right, how about this one? The 15th place finish by Kentucky Derby favorite Fierceness was what, Timmy?
Well, since he was on top of most of my tickets, it was disappointing. Favorites historically since 2000 have always run well. I mean, this was the worst finish since Frisian Fire was 18th in 2009. Fierceness is, you know, after that Florida Derby, he went into the Derby thinking he might have been the second coming of Pegasus. But You know, he hopped a little bit at the start, and, you know, the fractions were pretty quick, and he just couldn't maintain, and he backed up. And it was just disappointing to me.
It was disappointing, and that was an anomaly. I mean, it's hard to figure out how he's so in and out. You know, there were some rumblings around the backside that he wasn't training well, that it wasn't soundness issue, but he just wasn't doing as good as he was going into the Florida Derby, and it kind of showed. But it was disappointing. I would have liked to have seen a big race out of him.
Yeah, I would say it held true to his pattern. He seems to run one really big race and then a subpar race, and another big race and a subpar race, and we saw that again on Derby Day. It was not meant to be for fierceness as he fades to 15th. Complete this sentence, Tim Wilkin. The most unexpected result in Derby 150 was?
We just talked about it. Fierceness, finishing up the track for all the reasons we just mentioned. That was the biggest head scratcher to me. And again, we go back to the fact that these horses are not machines. They don't, you just don't press a button and they do it every single time. But for me, definitely fierceness.
That's it. Yeah, that's pretty much true. But I would also say that the two Japanese horses performed so well, so much better than any of the others that they brought over here. They were third and fifth, and both ran very respectable races. And the horse was fifth, doing it on his third start of his life. I thought that was pretty big for them.
Yeah, I was going to go there too, Dale. I think that effort by T.O. Password, completely unexpected. Huge effort from him, and kudos to those connections. All right, one more for you. Having a clean week of racing with no catastrophic injuries says blank about racing's safety initiatives. Tim, what does it say?
It says that we're doing something right, I guess. I guess all the naysayers are all, they were probably hoping that something would happen, because that's when they want to throw shade on the sport whenever something bad happens. You didn't hear much about the job that was done down there with all the safety precautions and everything that went into doing this Kentucky Derby when the whole world is watching. All I can do is applaud the effort and everything everyone did to make sure that track was safe, because it certainly was.
Yeah, it means we're doing a lot of things right, and it probably shows that last year was a statistical anomaly as much as anything. And I would tip my hat to Churchill. This racetrack right now is the best I've seen it in years. I know they resurfaced it over the winter and got their material from a new spot, and it's as good as I've ever seen it. It rained all night last night and went out this morning. It was still a very safe racetrack. I even worked one horse over it.
Dale, you have horses on there every day. But when you say how is it different from like last year?
Well, see, Churchill used to, for 50 years, they got their material from the same spot on the Ohio River close to Churchill Downs, and that spot ran out of dirt. I didn't know spots ran out of dirt, but it did. So they had to change to a few different ones. And like the last few years, there's been rocks and stuff in it. They wasn't sifted right. Not Churchill's fault. They bought it from a quarry. It didn't come in right. Now they're going all the way up to by Cincinnati to a quarry and got new material that's like the old stuff we had. Stripped it all down, put new dirt on it, and it's very even. Horses are just bouncing around it right now. I mean, horses coming out Florida and different places seem like they're all moving a lot better once they got here. So kudos to them for that.
And I never knew about that with the dirt stuff.
Mm-mm.
That's interesting stuff. I did not know that.
Those, I always say those tracks are living, breathing creatures. People don't know the maintenance that goes into them and the types of soils that you have to have and all the science behind it, but whatever they did this winter, they got this one right.
Dale, how about that much maligned turf course, which has undergone a lot of changes? It looked beautiful this past weekend.
Yeah, they might be undergoing the right way on that. I haven't heard a lot of complaints, and believe me, you hear complaints if it's going bad. I haven't heard positives, but I didn't hear any negatives on it. I ran one horse on it, and he ran pretty good, and everybody was – my jock seemed to be happy with it.
Because they did get a lot of rain on Friday. And
they did.
I guess, and Churchill's one of the tracks that seems to handle the wet better than some others. You agree with that?
Yeah, well, Churchill historically has always handled the rain better. Until the last few years, I think it was it was different. But in the past, it was as safe or safer when it had water on it as when it was dry. The turf course, the new one thing about the new turf course is it's designed to suck all the water out of it, so they won't have to miss many days when it's all settled and set in perfect. It should be, you know, you should be able to use it after a hard rain. So I didn't hear anybody complain about it. I didn't see a lot of kickback and a lot torn up on the turf.
All right, guys. Yeah, fantastic stuff. Let's move on to our next segment. Last week I had the opportunity to look back on a couple memorable Derby moments with Hall of Famer Nick Zito. And every week here on I Ask, They Answer, we welcome Nick to the program with his sound bites, if you will. And Dale and Tim get to tell me if the following statement is right or wrong.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
I love Nick's interview last week too, guys. He left me with one final comment before we wrapped up the conversation. He said, right or wrong? Perfect for Nick Zito. Here you go. With a minimal number of Derby horses planning to contest the Preakness again this year, the time has come to move the Preakness back on the calendar and space out the Triple Crown. Is that statement right or wrong?
What do you think? Right or wrong?
Dale, what do you think?
No, I will never agree that anything about the Triple Crown should be changed. If we do, it's no longer the Triple Crown. It's three races put together. There are some other things that could be done. You could race the purse in the Preakness in Belmont to give people incentive to wheel right back. And you could also do things like we did in the 80s and 90s with a bonus for horses that start in all three that finish the best, or a bonus for winning the Triple Crown. There's a lot of things you could do to incentivize the Preakness, but if you change it, it's no longer the Triple Crown. Then we start a whole new record book.
I'm going wrong with this, too. I agree 100% with Dale. Maybe the traditionalist in me, but, you know, it's always been this way. It's always been three races in 5 weeks. You know, it's supposed to be pretty difficult to do it. I mean, if you have the races spaced out, and you run one in May and then one in June and then one in July, you know, I think you're going to get Triple Crown winners all the time, because you're going to get horses that they're going to get more rest. And I just think that to be a real special, to win the Triple Crown, you have to be a special horse. You have to be a horse that breathes different air. And I know that this concept has really gotten legs since, you know, last year, Mage was the only horse from the Derby that went. And the year before, Rich Strike didn't go at all. Horses, modern times now, horses, they don't run every 2 weeks. That's just the way things are. But if you want to have a Triple Crown horse, you have to do something that other horses can't do. And that's why I think the Triple Crown is perfect the way it is. And I know we've talked about this before. I mean, but maybe should have the World Series where you have 5 days between games so players can rest. I mean, it has to be difficult. It has to be hard to do it. And right now, the way it is fine with me.
Yeah, and I think the problem, Timmy, is not the fact that the Triple Crown is difficult or not difficult, whatever the case might be, because that only applies to one horse. Mystic Dan is the only horse with a shot now. So, okay, you expect him to run in the Preakness. I think that the argument here from many people is that he might be the only Derby horse, or maybe there might be two or three, and that's it. We just saw 20 horses in the Derby, so to get two or three in the Preakness really isn't that big of a percentage. I think that's where most people say, hey, we need to make the Preakness a better race, but then you come back to Dale's comments about giving a bonus or incentive for people to run their horse back in 2 weeks in the Preakness. You know, to me, that might be the way to go, because I agree with you guys. I don't like the idea of changing the Triple Crown.
I don't either. And, you know, the thing, too, is...
And the Belmont doesn't get affected by this, Timmy. The Belmont's going to be just fine, because that's a five-week gap.
And, you know, they were if the Belmont would be affected if they did move the Preakness. Because if they moved it out, and then there's a week between the Belmont and the Preakness, obviously that's not going to work. And the other thing you have to look at, too, is you want to have the public is the public that doesn't follow horse racing follows horse racing during the Triple Crown. Are they going to keep the interest peaked if it's going on for 2 months? I'm not so sure about that. I think, you know, people tune into the Kentucky Derby because they've always tuned into the Kentucky Derby because people love to watch the Kentucky Derby. And then they tune into the Preakness to see if the Derby winner, if he's there, wins the Preakness. And then obviously the interest wanes if the Derby winner doesn't win the Preakness.
Yep.
So, and you know, I think a lot of it too can come into what NBC has to say, and now Fox, the networks that are televising these races.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're going to bring back that topic again, or at least that segment again, Right or Wrong with Nick Zito, on next Saturday morning's I Ask, They Answer program. But we have to move on to a couple of topics submitted by our listeners. And every week we tell you, if you have a topic you want to hear Dale and Tim debate or discuss, you can email those topics to me, mike@horseracingradio.net. We'll get them worked into the show. You can also do that on our social media pages, and we'll get them in that way for you too. This one comes via email from Shane in North Carolina, and guys, I love it. Over the last 15 years, Mage, Rich Strike, Country House, Always Dreaming, Nyquist, Orb, Super Saver, and Mind That Bird never won another race after winning the Kentucky Derby. Does Mystic Dan win another race? Dale, what do you think?
I think he does. I mean, he wasn't an unrealistic winner, and he's a good horse. I watch him train. He's in the barn right next to me. I watch him train all the time. I know Kenny's really high on him. He might not win another Classic. He might not win a Breeders' Cup Classic next year, but at the end of the year. But he's a good horse. He'll go on and win races.
You know, it's a good question from Shane from North Carolina, was it? And it's also it's a good question, but it's also a question that's impossible to answer. I mean, I think Mystic Dan is a good horse, and he's got a. And these other horses that didn't win, they had good people behind them. You know, they had really good horsemen conditioning them. It just didn't work out for them. Kenny McPeak is a really good horseman, and he knows how to get a horse ready for a race. I think Mystic Dan will win another race. He might win a couple more races. He might be a big factor in the three-year-old division this year. He might be a horse that's just going to get really good as he gets older. So I'm going to say yes, he's going to win another race, and maybe more than one.
Yeah, good question, Shane. Appreciate that. Again, keep those questions coming. That's what Ed in Kentucky has done. He emails the show with a few different questions. Don't know if we'll get to all of his questions here. If not, we'll bring them back on next week's edition. But his first one, these have nothing to do with the Triple Crown, guys, or the Kentucky Derby. He says many races will show weight differences of 2 to 4 pounds based upon the book conditions. He wants to know if you guys think this actually makes a significant difference at the finish of a race. Tim, what do you think? Does that 2 to 4 pounds make a big difference?
I'm not so sure it does. I mean, these horses are big animals, and you know, I think it gets to be a factor when there's more weight. You know, 2 to 4 pounds. I mean, you think about. I mean, maybe this is the wrong way to equate it, but, you know, if you had to carry 2 extra pounds, if you're running, is it going to affect you? I think for a human, it would affect you. For a horse, I'm not so sure. I'm going to say no. I don't think it affects them that much. I could be wrong. I don't train horses.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a question that's been around forever. I do think you get up to 10-pound swing, which we used to have a lot more of, then that would make a big difference when they had handicap races. A lot more handicap races. You know, 2 pounds might make a difference if they hit the noses together, but I think there's a lot more important factors than the weight.
All right, he's got one more applying to weight, and then we'll bring his third question back on next week's show. But this one, he wants to know if the 5 to 10 pound bug weight reduction for apprentice jockeys make up for the difference in riding skill versus a veteran jockey. Dale, what do you think?
I've never ridden a lot of apprentice riders in my life, but if you get a really good apprentice, and there's some out there right now, then the weight advantage does mean a little something. But I've always liked the old guys that have ridden a lot of races. That's been my style all along. You could have the 5 pounds, give me Pat Day.
You have the apprentice riders are, you know, the riders that are starting their career. They're learning. And if they're and they're in fields with the likes of the Ortiz brothers, Johnny V, Castellano, all these seasoned veteran riders that know the ins and outs of every racetrack. I mean, I would take them all day, every day. I'm not going to say that makes a difference against the veteran rider, because I think the veteran riders are better. They're just better. And, there's some really good apprentice riders that have gone on to become really good riders. But for me right now, beginning of their careers, I'll take the veterans all day.
All right, Ed, Shane, appreciate those questions. Again, if you have a question for Dale and Tim, make sure you send it to us, and we will work that into the program for you. All right, time now to wrap up the program as we do every week. It is with our West Point of the Week. Dale and Tim get to make their final points before we wrap things up. Guys, remember that owning a racehorse with West Point Thoroughbreds, and Dale knows this better than anybody, means that you are in the care of complete professionals who guide you throughout your ownership journey. You'll get instant access to the highest levels of racing, world-class trainers, jockeys, racetracks, and, of course, your horse. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships. Tim Wilkin, what is your West Point of the Week?
Well, I have to give a really big round of applause to Caitlin Free, the handicapper at Churchill Downs, who nailed the triple for the Derby. And she not only nailed it, she explained exactly how the race ended up. I mean, you would have thought she was given the analysis after the race was run, because she was spot on. It was like she was calling the race. She did a phenomenal job in calling Mystic Dan and the two horses, Forever Young and Sierra Leone, that were behind. Really a good job by her.
Yeah, good job, Caitlin. She does good work over here every day. I just want to congratulate Churchill Downs on a great week of racing, a great weekend. The Derby Day was great, but the whole week was really good. Up 60 million, I think, on the week. Viewership, the ratings on television up, 156,000 people in there, and I have not heard one complaint. Everybody seemed to have a good time, and we know that Derby and Triple Crown are the engine that run our whole industry. Congratulations to Churchill Downs.
Who says racing's dead?
That's right.
Not me.
Good racing is always alive.
Absolutely. Dale Romans, Tim Wilkin. Guys, we'll do it all over again next Saturday with a Preakness morning edition of I Ask, They Answer. Enjoy the races.
Thanks, Mike.
See you, Dale.
All right, if you have a topic you want to hear Dale and Tim discuss, you know what to do. I just told you. Email that topic to me or hit us up on social media. We'll work it in for you. I Ask, They Answer is presented every week by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program in the College of Business. I'm back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, where racing comes to talk.